we're speaking about the yisoid of what is koil and how it relates to the responsibility of parnasa. And we spoke about this barichos, bringing down the briskerov, who quoted the famous Rambam, that it comes to the idea of Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was always a Shevet that was devoted to Avodas Hashem. They didn't have any shaykhs to working. So Koilul is like a Shevet Levi. And we spoke about the promise that the Rambam brings down, that a person is going to have Davar HaMaspik Lo, he's going to have all his needs taken care of. Ani chelkcha v'nachloscha, I am your chelik and your nachlo, like Hashem told the Levim. That's what he's telling someone who devotes himself to his learning, sitting in Koilul. And we spoke about how this is the two systems of the world. There's a system of parnasa and a system of doing, you know, devoting yourself to learning, that Baruch Hashem takes care of you with this other system. This is what we spoke about Barichas last time. So we mentioned how in our days, Koilul is not a one-time decision like it always used to be. In America, it's a constant decision. It used to be a person decided, am I part of the Asar Batlonim that are going to devote their whole life to sitting in Beis Medrash and not working, or not? And if not, then he went at a young age, he went to work. Here in America, like we spoke about Barichos, it's a different type of opportunity, it's available, and it's more needed, like we spoke about. The Yiridus HaDoiris demands that we usually too young, at 21, 22 years old, just to leave yeshiva, and usually need more. So I just want to make a correction. I mentioned the story last time with what the Nachas David, David Tevel, said over at the Hespid at Reb Chaim Volozhin's Levaya, and I looked it up. I kind of confused two separate stories. So let me just say it correctly. What the Nachas David said by Reb Chaim Volozhin's Levaya was, he said he remembers once that it was a Shverer Shaila that came to Reb Chaim Volozhin, and Reb Chaim Volozhin, because of the chaimer of what was being dealt with, was a very shverer shaila. He chazered shas begimel yomim. In 3 days, he chazered shas before he passed in the shaila. The point being is that you want to know what Yiridus HaDoiris is, and way we look today. Not too long ago, Nachas Dov was saying over about his Rebbe Reb Chaim Volozhin, he was chazering shas in 3 days. That was the correct version of the story. I confused it with a different story that I saw over Shabbos. That's not for now. Akopanim, this is the Yiridus HaDoiris that we're talking about. That we have to realize that on our level, we taka very much are not prepared just to leave yeshiva so easily at a young age. And if we have the opportunity to push it out longer, that's the idea of koilul. You know, the Satmar Rav said, this is the Satmar Rav Zatzal, of Yoyol, is the early days in America. This is what he said then already. He says, a person is exposed in one train ride to work, or one bus ride, more than a person in the last generation it was exposed to in a whole lifetime. Can you imagine? One train ride or bus ride to work today, this is when he was speaking, is what the old generations wouldn't encounter in a whole lifetime of living. I wonder what the Satmar Rav would say today when we have the internet and smartphones and everything else and the Memtes Shari Tumah of the Vela. I mean, I can't imagine what he would say today. So, Akopanim, this is the Nakuda that we're mentioning, that we have to realize the dangers of going out there in the world are so large that we need so much more foundation to stay secure and not be mushpa from what's being presented out there. And that's just in the Sur Meirah, making sure to keep away from, you know, bad things. But even the Asay Toiv, you have no idea how many people go to work. And B'nai Torah go to work. And they really believe when they go to work that I'm going to remain a Ben Torah. I'm going to remain being serious about my davening with a minyan. I'm going to remain serious about being kaveh to my Torah. People go to work with these type of commitments and beliefs that they're going to stay strong. And then somehow when they're at work and weeks, months, years pass by and somehow they lose it all. And they really believe, like, you know, they didn't open a safer in months or years and they really believe they're honest, they don't have time, what should I do? It's not what they expected, but real B'nai Torah lose it. You know, I was recently speaking to a Baal HaBos, and this Baal HaBos told me, I have to go to the Mir dinner this year. I said, really, why do you have to go to the Mir dinner? So he tells me, I have a lot of Akaris HaTayv to them. So I said, I don't understand, why do you have Akaris HaTayv to the Mir? You never looked in the Mir ever. I was like, why do you have Akaris HaTayv to the Mir? So he said, many years ago, I was asked by someone who was involved with the Mir to get involved with that year's dinner to raise money. And I wasn't so interested, but they pushed me into it and I got very heavily involved. Every night I was making phone calls, I visited people, I attended parlor meetings, I was very involved raising money for the Mir. After the whole dinner and everything was done, that first night afterwards, I realized to myself, you know, I work full time, I never have time for anything, and somehow I squeezed in so much time to help the Mir Yeshiva. Where did I get all that time from? And now I have so much free time ahead. So the night after the dinner, you had nothing to do. And all of a sudden he realized, you know something, I have time to learn. I thought I don't have time, but this guy was a Ben Torah. But he obviously left alone his learning because he probably felt like he was an idiot, he didn't have time. And all of a sudden he said, I changed my life right then, and I started learning every night because I really I do have time. And from then on, I started keeping my siddurim at night and learning. So I owe them a lot of akaris hatayv, partially because my whole life, that now I'm sitting and learning at night as a Baal HaBos with Torah, is only because of them. And that's why I want to go to the Mir dinner. This is what he told me. So we have to realize that even B'nai Torah who think, oh, for sure, I'm always going to learn, I'm always going to daven, I'm always going to... Don't be so sure. It's not so easy out there. It's a very tough world. And people that were certain, even they were surprised. B'nai Torah, through and through, they were surprised that they lost it all when they went out to the world. And then again, there's another idea of where it's so important to have a very good foundation. And many times, the foundation has to do with even after marriage, staying in Kehillah a little bit before they go out to work. You know, I saw Murray Dikamaisa recently. Malkiel couple said this over. He's talking about his father of Shneya. He said, if Shneya once, he flew to L.A. to raise money. He was fundraising for the yeshiva, for Lakewood Yeshiva. So, when he was in L.A., they directed him to go to a certain Baal HaBos. He said, this guy's a real gvir. It's kedai to go there and see what you can get. So, Shneir said over, he was telling over his son, Avizir Malkiel, that you have no idea. I went to this guy, and the size of his enterprise was so impressive. The factory literally encompassed an entire city block. It was huge. He said, you have no idea what was going on, what this guy owned, and what was, you know, his whole, what he was running. So Schneier entered the complex, and he came in, and the secretary told him, it was 1:30 in the afternoon. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He's not available from 1 to 2. At 2 o'clock, you could meet with him. So Shane was surprised. Like, I mean, you know, always not available from 1 to 2. What goes on from 1 to 2? So finally at 2 o'clock, he was admitted to this Grace Gvir. And he came out of this, you know, he went into the inner chambers of his, you know, his office. And Shane, out of curiosity, you know, in the days of Rishiva Vesmanesh Gavoya, Rav Aaron's son, he felt he had a right to ask. He said, can I ask what goes on from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock that your secretary says you're never available? So the Baal HaBos told him, you have to realize, he said, I'm running a tremendous operation here. It's very hectic. There's always something going on. And literally from morning to night, I don't have a minute for Talmud Torah. It's impossible. His mamash, you don't cap what's going on here. There's not a moment. So what I do is, he says, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I make it that this is Shabbos. From 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, it's my Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not available for anything, right? No phones, nothing. And I make myself a daily Shabbos from 1 to 2. 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock is my daily Shabbos, and when it's Shabbos, I sit alone. So Mela, this is what I do from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. So Malkiel was saying over from his father, Shneya, that it was Meridik, this Balabas realized that unless he really makabels something very serious, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. It's such a major operation. And therefore, he was makabel on himself that this is Shabbos Kodesh. Every day of the week is a Shabbos for an hour. And Mela, during that hour, he's untouchable. Akoponim, we have to realize the Gevaldika Sakana out there, it's not as simple as our young minds think. Another point to understand the idea of finding people that, you know, join Kailul. There's frightening words from the Chafetz Chaim, but I think at this mature age you can hear such words. The Chafetz Chaim says in Torah Or, "Kol ma shemegareya ha'odam mechelak ha'Torah." We're living our lives working hard in Torah, but you should know, says the Chafetz Chaim, anything that you're missing and lacking in Torah, sha'alov lahasig bimei yichaya, but you were supposed to get it in your lifetime. Whatever you're expected to get, which is every neshama has in its ability and what it could be kaina, whatever you're expected to get in Torah and you're missing, hu migareya meheyois nafshoi ushleimusoi boilo manetzach. You're going to be missing part of you when you come up to the eternal world in Olam Haba, according to how much Torah you were supposed to have and those chalakim that you missed, which you had ability to be kaina and you weren't. If you were negligent and the pshia, you didn't go ahead and be kind of those chalakim, for all netzach, nitzachim, and eternity in Shemayim, you're missing those chalakim to your being. Scary words. And he brings down a medrash to Chafetz Chaim in Parshas Kisavai. The pasuk says, Vahoya im Shemoya Tishmu. Double lashon, Shemoya Tishmu. Chazal Darshan. Im shamato ba'olam hazeh, then tishma ba'olam haba. If you heard the words of Torah in this world, then you'll hear it up there in Shemayim. Says the Medrash, what's it coming to teach us? K'sheyavoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'lamda ba'olam haba, in Shemayim, when Hashem is teaching Torah, whatever this means, you know, obviously our physical minds can't understand what it means to be Nenem Aziv Hashchina, but whatever the tremendous delight that a moment of Olam Haba doesn't equal all the pleasures of this world, what goes on in Shemayim, the Rabbeinu Shlom is teaching Torah to you and conversing with you in Torah, Yiyu HaKol Yoidim, you're only going to understand and have that delight, Me'iza Parsha Osek, of the Parshas that he's teaching, if you learned it. If you were Tishma Ba'olam Hazeh, then you're going to be Tishma Ba'olam Haba. Im Shemoya Tishma, Im Shemoya Ba'olam Hazeh, then Tishma Ba'olam Haba. If you heard it here and you learned it here, then you'll be Zaycha up there. Says the Chafetz Chaim, on Ulumeidim, we learn from this, that a person has no idea. Loyavinu Oysa. We don't realize how true these words are, that you're only going to understand Torah and enjoy. Elo Elu Sha'olamdu Ve'evinu Oysa Parsha Ba'olam Hazeh. The chalakim of Torah that you expected to get down here, and you got it, those are the chalakim that you're going to understand when you get up to Shemayim. And in the Mela we learn, kama mutal ala adam, how responsible a human being has to be, lamo lishtadel, to put in so much effort, lahachnes bekirboi kol divrei Torah, to let it enter in you all divrei Torah, l'man yeda ala osid, in order for eternity you should understand Torah. You'd be missing for all eternity. A great chelik, and it's your whole being. How painful and bad it's going to be for your nefesh. You're going to be like a mute up there, not be able to open your mouth. And it's going to be a tremendous embarrassment. How much pain you're going to have, lonetzach, all eternity, from what you missed out on. There's a meridik yisoy to realize. People in Klal Yisrael don't know this. But this is something we all have to know and internalize. How real it is. Our job in this world is to be kind of Torah. And Rachman al-Tzlan, the halakim that we're not kind of, that we had ability to be kind of, is forever going to haunt us, forever going to pain us. And this is a tremendous yisoy to realize. When we jump and skip, you know, we leave yeshiva early, and we, let's say a person has the ability to sit and coil a little bit, and he doesn't. Every ability you have, we have to use it for Torah, because Rachman al-Tzlan, it could really, for all eternity, bother us that we didn't do more. You know, there's a sefer, Oyel Aryeh, from Label Katz, Zatzal. He was a Rav in the Torah V'Das Minyan. He was nifted during the height of Corona. This sefer was a basic sefer on Hilchos Nida. When I was, you know, now today there's so much out there, but when I was growing up, this was the only basic sefer. It has a haskama for Amisha, Feinstein, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. All the Gedolim gave haskamas to it. This was like the basic sefer on Hilchos Nida. If you needed something, concise version, this is what everybody used. So over there, in Oyel Aryeh, he has a Simen Chav Beis, where he talks about, it gets off topic a little bit, from Hilchos Nida, and he talks about how Limanat Torah is Yisoid HaBayis. Learning Torah is the foundation of your house. And this is another point, I think, that's very important to know. When a person is making life decisions, of yes sitting in Kail, not, and all that, we have to realize, this is another point, how our bias, our house, has to have a foundation of Torah. So when you're going to get married and you're starting your house, where are you coming from? If you're coming from work, is your house really going to be foundationed with Torah? If you're coming from a Beis Medrash and you're sitting in Kailo, it's a whole different thing. And he goes through over here, from Label Katz, that's all. A great Sarichus. I need to watch. Have I have time? He has Agrei Sarichus. He begins, we'll see how much time we have, but he begins with the famous Va'asuli Mikdash, the Medrash. The Rebbeinu Shalom asks us to make a Mikdash. We mentioned this Medrash already. How the Rebbeinu Shalom says, I can't depart with my Torah, and therefore, Bayis Echad, make a place, She'edur Tomid B'Sechad, that I will always be. That I could always have the Mikdash, I could always, through the Torah, I'm having Ashrash Hashchina with you. So says the Oyel Aryeh, what we see from this is, Bayis shall call Echad Miklal Yisrael. Everybody's house is a Mikdash Mi'at, and you have to be careful to make sure it has Ashrash Hashchina, which the foundation to have Ashrash Hashchina is a house of Torah. Having Torah in your house, it doesn't just mean, you know, people used to buy, like, you know, this many inches of red svarim in the bookcase, and then you need some blue ones over there, and you know, you have a beautiful bookcase of svarim. If you don't learn the Torah, it doesn't mean you have Torah in your house. It doesn't matter how many bookcases of Torah you have. You have to sit and learn what you have. I know people, Rachman al-Tzad, never open a sefer, but they have svarim in the house. It doesn't make your house built on Torah. Built on Torah means you open the sefer and you learn it. You're harboring and learning. So Meili continues and he says, Yaakov Avinu, like we know, we sent Yehuda ahead to Mitzrayim. He was limad l'dayres. He taught us for all generations aboyim. Tzorich koydim kol l'kvoya l'limad atayra. The first thing you have to worry about when you're going to Beis Hashem get married and start your bias, it has to be built on Taira. Kol chosun shemaskel livnois bias, tzorich l'shtadim b'chol kachos, with all his kachos. The bias at the bonoi albinyan shall Torah. And only if it's built on Torah, Yochel Iskayim, you're going to have a continuation. If your bias is not built on Torah, Rachman al-Tzlan, those are the bottom of people's houses that don't exist. Nebuch, they have problems. And that's not what we want. And he goes on further to say, Bidor Hazeh, in our generation, Portsa, Magefa Gedolah B'Klal Yisrael, the tremendous Magefa. Magefa shebavura toyu menachas b'karen zavis. A tremendous plague, doesn't mean the coronavirus. A tremendous plague. A plague that the Torah has put in the corner. And this is talking about, our generation means when I was growing up. That's what he's speaking. In our generation, he says, most people, he says, listen to what he writes. A person who's a ben Torah, b'nei yeshiva shalomdu v'omdu b'koisle beis ha-medrash kol yameyam. People that were b'nei Torah that learned the whole days in yeshiva. But once they go out to work, they leave the Torah behind, and they're not even kivei itma Torah, and that's it, now they're working. And he says that it's a tremendous churban. How could the bias exist if it's not built on Torah? So he says, Shema Torah, maybe you're going to answer me, like some people's excuses. Ad shekavitz mama in echsa ve'ekra. You know what? I'm first making my money, and then I'm going to go back and learn. Says Reb Leibel Katz, Im tala machshava zu alibcha, if such a thought enters your mind, ein ata zeicha l'kisra shatayra l'oilam. You'll never be zeicha to the crown of Torah. It will never happen. And he doesn't make any exceptions. It will never happen. How do I know it will never happen? He says, the famous Mishnah Novos. The Mishnah Novos says, al toima l'chsha efne eshne. Don't say when I have free time, I'll start learning. Maybe you'll never have time. And the Mishnah is trying to tell you, you will never have time. You get yourself in the routine of now I'm working, and eventually I'll go back to learn, it won't happen. It doesn't work like that. And in Mela, the Kitzer, you know, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but he goes further and says, you don't realize all your bracha in life comes from the Torah. He brings a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Kol Oisik B'Torah Nechosam Matzlichim. Then his Nechosam have Hatzlacha. You want to have Hatzlacha in your job. You want to have Hatzlacha in everything you do. It has to be built on a Ruach of Torah. You need that basis of Torah. It's a whole Arichus. We don't really have time. He goes on to talk about how Torah is the only shmirah that we have. He brings in Avos D'Rab Nosson a few paragraphs later. In Avos D'Rab Nosson it says, Kol anoisin divrei Torah alibay. Only if you put Torah on your heart, mevatlim imenu, then, if you're a person that's living with Torah, then we remove from you heruhei cherev, means thoughts of war, heruhei rov, heruhei shtus, heruhei znus, Hehurei Yetzahara, Hehurei Eishas Ish, Hehurei Dvarim B'Telim, Hehurei Ol Bas of Adam, all the different worries and thoughts, anxieties that exist out there, they all disappear if you have what you fill your heart with is Torah. You know, you send Torah aliboy. You know, cheaper than spending money on your therapist, not cheaper, just sit and learn and it gets rid of all your worries. As I state in black and white in the Obis Rav Nosson Perichov. Torah is the greatest shmira, says the Oil Arya here. And in Mela, you need your bias to be built on Torah. So he ends off this whole Arichus, which is very beautiful. He just says, Yisoid Gadol Tzrichim L'Kvoya B'Libeinu. This tremendous foundation, you have to instill it in your heart. That HaTorah Hi Chiyuseinu, Torah is your life. U'Bilado En Kanchias, and without it, you don't have life. So let me ask you, you're a bachur in yeshiva. Your wife, Mitzvah, you get married to her. How is she going to be a partner with you and realize the importance of Torah? Very nice, she went to school and Beis Yaakov and seminary and everything. But at the end of the day, and especially if you're coming from work and marrying a girl who wants to marry a working guy, how in the world are you building your house on Torah? Tell me, how is it going to happen? You're going to build your bias on Torah? Build your bias means there's two partners, a husband and wife. So the husband has some ideas of what Torah is about. The wife is clueless. And tell me, the house is going to be built on Torah? It's going to be a mokum ashuras hashchina? Please. If you believe that, I have the Brooklyn Bridge to sell you. Come on. This is why we need kailul. You have to build your bias on Torah. Your wife has to understand, too, what it means Torah. That's what you need. It's not a willing to survive, to have a bias that's built on Torah. It doesn't happen otherwise. You know, I saw a Murray Digger quote. I'm sure it's from a guy. It doesn't seem like a Jewish quote. But even a guy chaps this truth. A meaningful life is not about being rich. It's not about being popular. And it's not being highly educated or being perfect. It's about being real, being humble, being strong, and being able to share ourselves and touch the lives of others. Here's a guy that realizes life is not about money, popularity, education. Life's about sharing your life with others and touching others' lives and being there for others, being real. A guy realizes that. What would we say? That, yeah, and being a Ben Torah covers this all. A Ben Torah has that ability to realize life is talking not about money and popularity and education. Life's talking about being there for others and being humble and strong and real. We can't get lost in the storm out there and the fantasies and things that come our way and mix up our seichel hayosher, the straight way of thinking, really what Tachas HaChayim is. You know, I was recently walking by in a rich neighborhood, and coming my way, there was a Schwarzer pushing a carriage. And I was thinking to myself, Schwarzer? There's no Schwarzer in the neighborhood. So it was like a long, faraway distance. You know, Schwarzer can see from far away. And I'm thinking to myself, what's Schwarzer in his neighborhood? I'm pushing a carriage. As I get closer and pass by, I realize a beautiful Jewish kid, a two-year-old kid. Wasn't a baby, wasn't an infant. It was like a two-year-old kid at least, two and a half maybe even. A two-year-old kid in the carriage. A Yiddish kid. And I was thinking to myself, the kid grew up, happens to be, looked very, very sad. For some reason, I don't know. But that's what the kid looked. I don't know the details of the story. And I was thinking to myself, Rachmana Litzlan, if rich means that the Schwarz is going to bring up your kid, that's what you want in life? That's what you're looking for? That's what money means? Money means that now both of you are going to be working, that you could go ahead and hire a Schwarz to take care of your children? That's who's raising your children? That's the next generation that you want for yourself? That's the B'nai Torah you want in your house? Rachmana Litzlan. If that's what money means, I don't want money. That's what we have to all think to ourselves. Sometimes we forget what life's about. We really think money, popularity, education. We don't realize what's chayim, what's life. And we forget the basics of what life is. I'll tell you a personal story. I can't tell you enough, I say this all the time, how lucky every single one of you are that you're able to hear straight hashkafas, learn emistika zachin like this. You don't realize, you know, I wasn't zoicha to this when I was growing up in yeshiva, and the clarity that you're zoicha to hear of hashkafas from G'dayli Olam, whoever we're quoting, Marma Kaimis from the Chafetz Chaim and who knows else, you don't realize that this is gold for your neshama. I remember like yesterday, I was youngly married, and I'm the oldest boy in my family, so it was a new thing in my family for sure. And in general, you should know, when I got married, you know, I came to BMG in the late 1990s, and as much as BMG was growing, it still wasn't as common and expected as it is today. Today it's like a basic, but it wasn't like that then. So I remember my parents came to me for Shabbos, and I still remember exactly where I was walking home Shabbos morning with my father. That's how much this question that he asked me penetrated right through my whole being. This is already over 25, it's about 25 years ago, and I still remember it like today, like yesterday. I was walking home for shul with my father Shabbos morning, and I'm shmoozing my father, and he tells me, I don't understand how this is going to work. What does it mean you're going to sit in koyel? Like, how does this whole koyel life going to work? I mean, physically speaking, how is anybody supposed to survive? Let's face reality. If you don't work, there's no money. Like, well, how's it supposed to work? And this question penetrated right through my whole being. I didn't know the answer. I was never taught the answer. I was too young to really know too much to answer the question. And we all know now that, what do you mean? What type of question is that? That's not a question. This is the Rambam promising. You don't need an answer. The Rambam says, the same way I took care of Shevet Levi, the Rabbanu Shalom said, Ani chelcha v'nachlascha. Shevet Levi never got nervous. How is it going to work? We don't have no fields. Well, how is it going to work? Shevet Levi never asked that question. They knew, Ani chelcha v'nachlascha. You're my chelik, Hashem said. You're my nachlo. I'm going to take care of you. Says the Rambam, and the Rambam's always who we pass in the halacha. Says the Rambam, a person devotes himself to learning. Ani chelcha v'nachlascha. I will take care of you. You don't know how it makes sense in cheshbin? You don't have to know. You don't have to have an answer. You don't have to understand. Who said it has to make sense? The Rabbanu Shalom promises, I'm going to make sure you have all your needs. So when you ask how, the answer is you don't have to know how. Obviously, you have to have some basic system. A person can't be totally, you know, reckless. But a person who's joining a koyel and his wife's working is some type of system, which that's what I was part of. I mean, I was in BMG, and my wife did have a job. I mean, basically, there was some type of system. A basic type of system is more than enough. And that's what this Rambam's teaching us. And that's how wealthy every single one of you are at this young age, to have clarity in this yesod. It's worth millions. You don't realize it, but it's worth millions. I recently read a Meridika story from a young man here in Lakewood. I'm going to read you the story because this is something that's really, this brings out this message. This young man writes like this. When we got engaged, we were both idealistic about my learning in koyel for as long as possible. But unfortunately, we lacked the family support most koyel couples today take for granted. I came from a more modern family, and my parents did not exactly appreciate the path I had chosen. Supporting me financially to study indefinitely was not on their radar. My wife's family would love to help, but they lacked the means to do so also. The little they were able to give us didn't come close to even covering our rent. My Kala was studying to become a speech therapist, but her degree was still a good 2 years away. As the Chasana approached, we really had no clue how we're going to manage. We didn't even have money to buy a car. But we walked down to the chuppah with Betachon that with his help, Hashem is going to make it happen. Little did we know that Hashem had already planted the Yeshua right there in the wedding hall. Before leaving our chasana, my wife's great aunt handed her an envelope containing a check for $10,000, enough to pay for a car and to get us through the first month and more of rent. And it wasn't a one-time donation. This aunt had no family of her own. And she decided, obviously Hashem made her decide, she would make it her mitzvah to support us. Can you imagine? For the next few years, she continued to send us large gifts from time to time. She had an uncanny sense of when the checks were most needed. Like my wife's job was on the rocks, but we knew it was really the Eibishter pulling the strings from above. We've already passed our 10th year anniversary, and I'm still in Kol. It has been a long, bumpy ride, and there were many points when we felt we hit a dead end, but I'm still in Kol. 1 year, my wife was out of a job for a few months. So he goes through Arichas. I don't think it's Kedai. I want to get to another point. He just ends his letter that he writes. When we got married, we didn't know how we're going to last even 10 days. But Hashem takes care of the Loim Dei Torah, and He proved that we can even be already 10 years sitting in Kayo. This is what this person wrote. A real, true story here, a Yigaman in Lakewood. So the idea that we have to know, which is very important, we're talking about Kailo, is this promise of Dover HaMaspik happens with countless time in, time out, hundreds, thousands of younger life experience it all the time. And it's something we all have to realize, that the security is near for your panasa. The Rabbeinu Shalom promises to take care of all your needs. One last very important point on this subject. Many of us think to ourselves, well, I struggle in yeshiva. I can't even think learning a day extra after I get married. It's a thought that goes through Bachram's minds. I've heard it over the years. Let me explain to you what I saw brought down about this question. A Moyadika Sefer, Chedek HaYofer, that addresses this question, that I feel like I'm a guy who just, you know, I'm not cut out for it. I don't get the geschmack. I'm pushing myself, but like, it's really not me. So he quotes from the Pele Yoyitz, what a mistake the person's making. The Pele Yoyitz writes that feeling it and enjoying your learning and getting appreciation for it is all in the mind. It's all your mindset. And therefore, chiyuv ram yalon, a person has an obligation, litroyach b'machshavos u'isbeinus chitzon, to toil with your thoughts and to arouse your feelings, la'oyer es ha'ava, to arouse that love. You think avas ha'Torah comes on its own? You have to develop with your mind, with work, develop avas ha'Torah. So you're not different than anybody else. People that enjoy the learning is because they put the koichos in to make themselves enjoy it. And he goes on barichos, the Pele Yoyitz, kol hadvorim hamesurim l'leiv. Everything that's an emotion, a person has to work on feeling that emotion. It's very hard, he says. Well, you call us as hepech u'mashali b'chafetz. We have a time, right? Mishnah is Adam, Ira, b'simcha. You should be happy. How are you supposed to be happy? I'm not happy. I should do the opposite of my heart. My heart's not happy right now. What should I do? I woke up in a bad mood. Or let's say on Tisha B'Av, you have to be sad. You woke up so excited all of a sudden. How am I supposed to be sad if I'm happy? It always works like that, if you know, by the way. Of all the depressed people are the happiest individuals around. And during Adar, all the happy people are depressed. Nakamadim, the point being, says the Pele Yoyitz, Rak al pi sichlo, it's all about your intellect. A person has to train himself, like we spoke by Richos. That's why we took a detour. It's important to know this, so you have to come in control of your machshava. You could control your mindset. And it's your job, says the Pele Yoyitz. Yinageu, you're going to lead yourself, El Amokim, to the place where you're supposed to be. If it's a time for happiness, if you focus on happiness, you will get there. Tzorech ha'odom liya shalat beruch, you have to control your ruach, your spirit. Lis atzeim, when you're supposed to be sad and depressed, you have to know how to do that. Lis smayach, you have to know how to be happy, at times you're supposed to be happy. One thing shouldn't end to the other. You have to know how to get in control and lead your life properly with the right mindset at different times. And Anela says the Pele Yoyetz, like we say in our davening, V'tayroscha udvorcha yosim alibay. Place the Torah on your heart. That means get in control of yourself. You think naturally you're going to love Torah? Naturally you're going to enjoy your Torah? It's only going to happen if you value it. That happens with a mindset. Realize the value of every moment of Torah. Realize the value of sitting in a yeshiva by Gemara. The more we, with our mindset, value it, and we get chashivas for it, and we appreciate it, the more you'll start enjoying it. The more it'll become part of you. And Amela, it's no excuse to say, well, it's not me. It's not you because you're lazy and never worked on it. But you got to start working on it. The Arizal writes a similar thing. The Arizal writes, Hashoyrish Shakol Nishanalov, the root that everything leans on is Basiyas HaMitzvah. When you're doing the mitzvahs, when you're learning Torah, Al Yachshoyv Olov Kemasa Kovid V'Godol. Don't think of it in your mind as a big load. U'mahar Lasir Me'olov, and hurry to remove it from you. Al Yachshoyv B'Sichla, you have to think in your mind how much simcha you have ba'asoysu by doing the thing for Hashem. What excitement it is to accomplish, to learn a black gemara, to accomplish and do a mitzvah. A person has to think to himself, says the Arizal, ki'ilu noistam lo'i b'poyal, as if they're physically giving you elef alfei dinrei zohar. Imagine someone's paying you thousands of gold coins for doing something. You're not going to have to develop appreciation. You're going to enjoy it. I ask you to do the hardest job that you don't appreciate. Yeah, go clean up your room for Pesach, your mother tells you. And you have no interest in cleaning up your room. If someone would give you thousands of golden coins to clean up that room, cleaning up your room has become the biggest pleasure. Because the Metzius is, if you're being paid and you have appreciation for it, you could love it. I should end. If Shimon Schwab said over, used by the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim once was talking about the man. We all know the man, who depended on what you thought is how it tasted. If you're in the mood of pizza, and you're thinking pizza when you ate the man, it was a geschmacka, hot, sizzling slice of pizza. That's what it was. And if you're in the mood of a hot dog, you thought hot dog, and that's what it was. Whatever you thought, that's what it developed in. Even though it was before the Italians came around and pizza wasn't developed, but akobanim, that taste. Says Reb Shimon Schwab, I asked the Chofetz Chaim, and what would the man taste like when you don't think? I'm not thinking pizza or hot dogs. What happens then? I eat the man. What does it taste like? Zog the Chofetz Chaim, the Chofetz Chaim told me, as mitrach nisht, hot as kein tam nisht. If you're not thinking, it has no taste. And the Chofetz Chaim took this opportunity and went further. And he said, Yedezach and Ruchnias. Every Ruchnias nika thing that you're ever going to do. If you don't think, it's not going to have any time. If you're not thinking and you're just robotic and your lip service when you read your Gemara and you don't realize what you're doing. If you're not thinking, a hotnish kein time. And he went on to say about learning Torah, the Chofetz Chaim. He says, a moshel, when you learn Torah, for example, if you put your mind to what you're doing, then you're margish mesikus ha-Torah. You could feel the sweetness. But if you sit before your sefer and just go with lip service reading down the page, ein l'rimudai shuntam, that learning has no taste. It's missing any taste. There's nothing to it. I just want to add one point, even though I said that was the last thing. There was a maisa with Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. A bocha came to him crying. He came crying to Rav Steinman that I don't like to learn. I don't enjoy my learning. I don't like learning. So Rav Steinman said to him, is honey sweet? Do you like honey? Is honey sweet? So the bocha said back, of course honey's sweet. Yeah, of course honey's sweet. He said, if someone tells you it's not sweet, what would you say? He says, he's a liar. Honey's not sweet. He says, he's a liar. So Shneim said, no. The guy says honey's not sweet. He's not really a liar. It's possible he has blisters in his mouth. And when he eats honey, it burns and kills his mouth. And therefore, he's not lying. He's tasting honey and it's not sweet. Because it burns in his mouth, holds blisters. Said Rav Shteinman to this bachar, the mitzius of Torah is sweet. The Rebbeinu Shem writes it in a pasuk numerous times and was tried and tested by all the generations since Matan Torah in the year 2448. So that's guaranteed Torah is sweet. If you're telling me you're not enjoying it, you don't feel the sweetness, it's you, it's the blisters by you. Maybe there's too much gashmius in your life. Maybe you're not really into it. Maybe you're not so interested. You'd rather delve into other things. Whatever it is, you're not really tasting it. But a person who puts it to his mind with machshava and realizes what Torah is with machshava, thinks about it, he's guaranteed to feel the mesikas haTorah. So Meilu Rebbeinu Shem should bench us all with these yesoidas that we're learning to get appreciation for our Torah, and the Rebbeinu Shem should lead us all. With Itaka Kaina Torah properly, we should be the generation, Be'ezer Hashem, to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu, and prepare for your name.